welcome back to another episode of the Mini Wax Cast. Today we're going to be talking a little bit about what we do, why we do it, and how the hickory heck we got involved. So this is your regular Mini Wax Cast host, Kieran, and I have with me today Drex and Elisa from the Waxing Lyrically podcast. So
hi, Kieran.
Thank y'all for coming.
Hi. It's so great to be in the same room with you, Kieran.
Please always give me that deadpan when you come in trouble.
That's Drex's specialty.
That was my brain was stuck for a second.
Oh, man. Y'all just all got my barnyard laugh. Congrats. Congrats. So, yeah, let's just start off. So how did we all get involved with waxing lyrically in the Mini Wax Cast? So, Lisa, you start us off.
So Paul Underwood was doing the Waxing Lyrically. He kind of started it, and then he moved on to bigger, better pickleballing. And so I know he had approached Kieran, myself, Val.
I wasn't on the original list.
No, no. And I actually voted you in.
Oh, yes.
I did.
Thank
I put you on the
Elisa.
Roster. You're welcome.
Where would I be without Elisa?
Not here, right?
You wouldn't have been the best friend ever.
At least not here, yeah.
So, yeah, that's how we got here, is by just kind of being volunteers, as we all are,
and
with
also
this theater.
Very devoted lyric. Sounds weird. Lyric believers,
yeah.
I guess. We're really all about the support, even when we're not in a show ourselves.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We all drank the tea.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I got involved because several years ago, Paul was just interviewing new people to the lyric, and he said, hey, I need to interview a new person. You be it. And I said, oh, okay. And then he said, hey, I need you to interview somebody else because I can't do it. And I went, oh, okay, because that's how I usually respond to everything. Sure, yeah, right, I'll do it. And just like you, he said, mm-hmm. Hey, I'm needing to pass the torch. Yep. You and Elisa do it. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. When because I subscribe to it, and I'd get so excited when I see Paul release one. I hope that we're able to get to that level of anticipation.
Well, and I think that's a good segue into our announcement, which
ooh, did
is
I do a segue
you
this
did.
Time?
Yes, yes, you did. We are going to be dropping a podcast each week, whether it be a Mini Wax Cast hosted by beautiful Kieran Myers or a regular Waxing Lyrically podcast from your hosts, Drex, and myself, Elisa.
Yeah, it could just be a tight five of me from my backyard. I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that to y'all.
I don't know what a tight five means.
Tight five is like 5 minutes of, I believe comedians use it.
Oh, that makes sense because I'm not really down with
just
comedy.
Just something you have in your back pocket, 5 minutes of jokes that, you know.
Okay, gotcha.
And this is what we call mansplaining. It's...
This is your elevator speech for comedians. Got it.
Right. So what's next?
Who are we?
Yeah.
We got to how we got here, but who are we? What are our day jobs?
Well, I work for a big tech company, and I work from home, so I get to tend my plants and fur babies and all my loved ones and. That's pretty much my life, besides theater.
And then you come here for theater, and you
and
bedazzle
my social
us
life.
With hair and makeup and your spectacular acting skills.
Why, thank you.
Oh, y'all are looking at me now? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Basically, I'm what you call a jack of all trades, but a master of none. I am, however, trying to make acting my day job, and it's getting promising. It's not there. I've been trying it in earnest for a year after a lifetime in restaurants, and... that's what I'm doing now.
But you're getting good leads. In fact, this Sunday, we're going to be traveling to a premiere. Tell us about
shucks.
This. Yeah, tell us
my
about your
blushing, Drex.
Yeah, I was in this really cool student film. The director is a first-year grad student over at UT. She was born and raised in New York City, going twice a year to Israel, which is where her parents were from.
Interesting.
Or one of her parents, at least. But anyway, she's made beautiful short movies in the past, and this one is It's a Girl's Dream. and I play a demented game show host in her dream.
So and looking forward I to don't seeing have it. Have you updated your Facebook profile yet? Because if not, I hope everyone will go to Drex Holt's Facebook profile, because it shows him. At one point, it did where you just mm-hmm. had your hands up. And
I was wondering where
you're
going with that.
Were you the demented game show host?
Yes.
And it was called your Facebook profile too.
It was. It's my profile picture. It's called Guess That Question, and I had like a cool little Guess That Question.
I even made a little sticker out of it. You know how you can do. Stickers on your iPhone.
Oh, you did?
I did. Yeah,
oh,
I really did.
I can't wait.
And then anytime, like, I don't know something, then I stick that to it.
Oh, please send me that. I will.
That's
so badly.
That's crazy. Oh, but
well,
yeah.
My day job is working with middle schoolers. I teach theater at Brownwood Middle School, and it's a whole bag of mixed nuts, whichever. Sometimes
that
it's just nutty.
That sounds absolutely insane.
I've been lobbying
to do a theater teacher appreciation podcast in the future. Hopefully we'll do that soon, because I know a theater teacher changed my life. So mm-hmm. And I know that there's plenty more just like her, Katie Tidwell.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Thank you for doing that job, because I know it's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, thank you, Karen.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. They're just large children that are still little on the inside. They need a lot of love, and they need about 15 seconds to hang from the rafters in my room.
And then we're good.
And then they're good. Then they can focus. Mm-hmm. So,
well, we've talked about who we are.
Just for how
we
just
got
so everybody here at home knows, Elisa just did a shrug.
A shrug.
Yeah,
pause was a shrug of all of us going, well, hey, we didn't script this bad boy, so we're just flying as we go.
You gave some hinkly dink donk something or other.
Hickory heck. That was the hickory heck.
Yes, how the hickory heck did we...
How the hickory heck do we come here? So how did we get to the lyric?
Oh.
Go, Drex, go. How did you get to the lyric?
I replied to auditions I saw on Facebook, and I thought, hey, why not? And it was Windows Home. And after Windows Home were the 9 to 5 auditions, and I got parts in both of them, and the rest is history. Since then, at least 2 shows a year for sure, and I love to do it. There's nothing like live theater at the Lyric and being with my friends.
Can I tell you my first memory of you?
What's that?
It was you guys were all on the set of Windows Home, and it was a break or something. I don't know what I was doing, poking my nose and not my business, coming onto the backstage. You guys were all sitting around the table that was on the set, and you were like eating a box of cereal, like Cocoa Puffs straight from the. So, sorry. No, that's out there for everybody to know. But that's my first memory of you, and you're like, hey, you want some?
I remember that box of cereal. Yeah. I was.
This month's sponsor for the Waxing Lyrically podcast and Mini Waxcast is Urban Roots.
Urban Roots of Brownwood, Texas. I mean, you could go to Walmart or Brookshire's or wherever it is you buy plants real quick, or you can get something custom, beautiful, and bespoke over at Urban Roots.
They have a variety of plants and potting services. In fact, my daughter attended a birthday party there where they got to take home their own little custom terrarium that they made.
We were just talking about the terrariums. They look really cool. Like if you were to, you know, make a fish bowl decked out, decorated, but with no fish, no water.
Oh, yeah. And a unicorn.
A unicorn?
That's what came home in ours, was a unicorn, for sure.
That's it. Let's cut so I can run over there right now.
Urban Roots, Brownwood's indoor specialty plant store located at 306 B North Broadway in downtown Brownwood.
Yes. She came in with Holly after having done Patsy.
Oh, wait,
Klein,
for those of you that didn't hear, our tech guy, Dylan,
yeah,
just asked a question.
He did. He reminded me, Dylan reminded me that his mom and Holly had come in after the Patsy Klein show, and I waited on them at Karina's.
And that was a 2-woman show.
Oof. Oh, that was an incredible show.
And that's where the
show.
Idea started gestation.
So
I don't know why I use that word either.
Germination is what most
germination.
People say. Gestation is for 9 months later, you get a surprise, boy or girl. All right. And how about you, Elisa?
My kids were involved in the Lyric summer camps.
Okay.
And so they were in every year, and then I would come sometimes and help with hair and makeup for the little kids and costuming. And then one day I just decided, well, I may as well just try this myself for Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. So my kids were in it as well as me, and that was my first show. Yeah, and I was thinking about it. That was 2017, and now it's 2024. That's 7 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, five years.
I couldn't believe how much I've done in that amount of time.
You've done a spectacular amount. Like, how many shows? Like 15 shows?
Maybe more. Yeah, I think 15. Between acting, hair, and makeup, it's more
stage
like 20.
Managing. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't stage manage, but I was a dresser for Patsy Cline, which was,
that's
just
a thankless job.
Oh my gosh.
Help people get changed. For what? For what in return?
But, well, a good show.
Well, I mean, normally it's somebody part of the cast or they're getting to do something or whatever,
well,
but.
This
just
was
changing.
But this was a major job. We had our little area in the back, and Dylan's mom, it was very tiny with a little blue light and a mirror, and I had every outfit.
Did y'all go out there with the curtain call since there were only two people in the show?
No.
You should have.
Yeah.
But she would, Jill Evans would come back, and she would have a quick change that could include wigs, shoes,
accessories.
Skirts, accessories,
like scarves,
different lipstick, and that would, I think there were like 12 changes in that show, and they were fast, and we had to get them. I learned so much about how to make fast changes.
How to put out fires.
Yes. Well, no, how you even arrange clothing or shoes so that they're in a certain order.
Oh, yeah,
so the
like
person
bartender
can,
or kitchen stuff. Like this is where this always goes.
Yes.
This is where, and then we should move this over here to make it. Yeah.
That's right. And so you get a routine between you and the actor and everyone does their little part, and then hopefully everything goes right
that
and they get back out
there
dressed.
That reminds me of the video with I can't think of his name now. The Greatest Showman, and they showed that video of him.
Wolverine?
Wolverine.
Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman.
Shows him.
Please listen to this, Hugh Jackman. We finally got your name right.
The video is like 15, 30 seconds long. It's him, you know, getting changed and whatever, and he's kind of helping him out. He's figured out, okay, I lift this part, and then they do this, and then I put my arms through. I get a little
drink
exactly
of water,
and bam.
Yes, that's exactly right. And you have your accessories laid out, you put things in steps, and we had some of those changes were like Holly would be reading maybe a paragraph.
You had 15 seconds to get her changed to a whole new decade.
Did you ever send her back out there with like her dress and into the back of her pantyhose?
No. Nope. You know what? Luckily, we did not do that. Thank goodness. And how many shows are there each run? How many shows do we do?
Eight.
Yeah.
And
shows.
On a two-show day, I'm sure a skirt getting tucked into pantyhose would not have been out of the realm of probability,
and that
but thank
was
God it
so
never happened.
That's
line
what I always
heavy.
Think about when I go on stage.
Is
I'm
your
sure
skirt being
everybody
tucked into
noticed.
Your pantyhose?
It's not, no, yeah, no,
it's, your,
it's, my
it's
fly.
Your mic wire.
It's my fly.
Oh, your fly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys will watch me in any show. You'll probably count like five or six fly checks. For if there's three acts, there'll be six.
You at some point, we need to have a mini wax cast where we all talk about our superstitions and our quadruple checks that we do.
Oh, yes.
Because everybody has like their
See,
things they do
of a
before.
Good title for that.
Well, I think you should put just tape a little mirror on your hand, and that way you just hold it down here by your crotch, and then you can just put your eyes over, and then you can check your zipper. Tricks of the trade from a dresser.
The title would be, I got the title, Fly Checks, Playlist, and Fist Bumps.
There we go.
Let's get in there. Yeah.
Nice.
That sounds great.
The right playlist in the dressing rooms really can help pump you up for a show. And I
a physical show, the Beastie Boys, Body Movin'. That's a good one. Y'all know that song?
Yeah.
See, when we did Leading Ladies, I specifically asked Dylan to play Dude Looks Like a Lady.
Oh.
We had to have that one.
Perfection.
That was the perfect one. So, but as for me, I came to the Lyric because I knew a couple of people who were regularly in shows at the time. We had it felt like a relatively small group of rotating actors. And I was like, well, hey, why not me? And someone said, well, you're 6 months pregnant. I was like, no one's going to cast me.
What year was this?
2016.
Oh, wow.
And so we had auditions. I remember very well December 19th of 2015, and it was well below freezing, and the heater wasn't on in the building yet, and so I kept my pea coat on. So sweet Larry Mathis, who watched me audition, never had a clue that I was pregnant.
I think he has a bowling jacket. This is sweet Larry Mathis on it.
Sweet Larry Mathis. Probably, yeah.
If he doesn't, he needs one.
And so, like, he cast me, and I was like, well, crap, that one's supposed to happen. So I called him and said, now, just to let you know, I'm supposed to wear a bathing suit, and I will definitely be 8 months pregnant when I do this. And he was like, we'll work around it. And I was like, okay, you
so how, do you work around an 8 month gestation?
Especially when you're Karen's physical type, you probably just you were
like an olive on a toothpick.
Yeah, yeah,
that's what I looked
like an olive on a toothpick. Where is that from? So I married an actor. Anyway, sorry to. Or like you just had a basketball?
No, okay, so like we did very creative costuming. I had aprons, empire waist. For the swimsuit scene, everybody wore rather conservative 60-ish theme, so boy shorts. Mm-hmm. And I sucked it in. Like, there would be times by the third act, you could tell I was getting, I was getting tired, and mm-hmm. it was a little more obvious that I was pregnant because I just couldn't hold that kid in anymore.
What show was it?
This was Beverly Hillbillies, and I played the failed femme fatale, Emmeline Fetty.
I've noticed also pregnant women, I don't even think you're thinking of it, but they're always touching their bellies. Would that be something you would do if you were...
Because,
you know, we have our nervous tics and stuff. Like, maybe
I know, it wasn't really a belly toucher, especially with that kid. He was a kicker, and I was like, all right, fine, I won't touch you.
It's like women are always like...
But I had a cuckoo clock was my prop. Like, I was supposed to have
their
a...
power in the world. Like, I can bring life.
I can bring
look
life.
At the, as they're, you know, stroking their belly.
Well, I had a cuckoo clock that was supposed to be what my character carried around, taking pictures of all the things for incriminating evidence. And I was supposed to, like, set up these faux scenes where I was kissing on men and, you know, trying to make it look like they were cheating on their wives for blackmail later. And so the cuckoo clock kind of became my, like, okay, this is act 3, I can breathe for a hot second.
You can make your belly into like some kind of camera that you hold like this, you know.
Okay, my character wasn't supposed to be pregnant, but I was.
Yeah, I know, but you just like, hey, it's just my camera I carry just like this all the time, you know, make like a little box.
Okay, Drex, we got creative, we didn't get that cookie.
Hey, I just thought of it. I don't know. You guys are the ones with experience.
Then my next show, Pearson, was a year old, and it was, what did we do? A Few Good Men with Val. That's how I met Val. And I was Marine Lawyer number 2, and I have had approximately 5 words that I said the whole time. But that was the best
show. Yeah, that was a great show.
Because I watched and observed and learned so much. Because I went from knowing nothing. I didn't do theater in high school. I didn't do...
Were you a theater teacher at that point?
It just blows
my mind.
No, I wasn't.
I was teaching speech.
Oh, wow.
I was teaching speech at the community college. And so, like, I'd never done it. I was just like, well, this sounds like fun.
Was it like the Sorkin version? Or was it like a different version? A Few Good Men?
No, we edited. There was heavy editing of special language.
Yeah, he has a certain way of talking. It'd
they did
like
say damn.
We had, I think we cut out
that was probably
any
a
F-bombs,
huge fight between everybody involved. Like, no, we will say it.
We cut out the GDs, and if there were any JCs, those got cut out, and any F-bombs were dropped, because we did want to make it so that at least older children.
You know, when I was younger, I was like, no, you got to leave it in there, man. That's free speech. That's what now I think, you know, man, if it's a good funny show, they're not needed, you know.
And
why
if you
have
could
them
was not
plus
funny.
If you can get more people in here with them not being there, you know.
I think the idea of cutting out a lot of that was just because people couldn't handle the truth.
Yeah.
That was like a seriously bad joke.
I think we need a moment of silence to give you the thud on that one, just to make sure that you know you did wrong.
My favorite part.
We don't need
about
to punish you, just, you know.
Just shame me.
Just a little shame.
Our founder, Paul Underwood, could not pronounce Guantanamo Bay to save his life.
What was he calling it?
I don't know, Guantanamo or something. So he had it written phonetically. His character was supposed to come in with a clipboard, so he had it written phonetically on the clipboard.
When I did The Odd Couple, it was like my first show, second show. I did it back when I was in the military. You know how there's a line where he says, okay, come on, polka a menus. It's speed. I played speed.
Oh, okay, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I kept saying menus or minus or whatever. And then I knew what a menu was, but I was just so like.
How many years were you in the restaurant business?
Yeah, I know. I know. I was like 19. I was menus, and they're like, "Hey, man, you're overthinking it. They're menus," and I was so embarrassed. So I'll kind of yeah.
Did you also do the Odd Couple here at the Lyric?
No,
I did the Odd Couple here.
Okay, that's right. You were one of the Pigeon. Uh-huh.
Yes, I was one of. I was Cecily Pigeon, and Jill Underwood was. The other Pigeon sister, which was, I can't remember her name.
Gwendolyn.
Gwen.
Is was that it? Yeah.
Yeah. I think. Was it?
I remember the white go-go
Gwendolyn
boots. That's
and yeah. Cecily Pigeon.
We had great costumes, and oh, there were so many funny parts of that.
That was a great set, too. Larry had it dressed to
really good
the
set.
T. It was great.
Yeah. Neil Simon is hysterical.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I don't remember it being super dirty, right?
No, like, no, it yeah. wasn't at all. I mean, there was some else, innuendo man. That made it funny mm-hmm. with the girls, but over overall, I mean, it was just.
And when you have Ben Cox.
Yeah, and Matthew McNeese up there.
Oh, my gosh.
Then,
yeah.
You know, Matthew was.
It was typecasting.
Oh, it was yeah. total. Yes.
They were
it
both
was
born
absolutely
to play those parts.
Typecasting, yeah. And it was great. Yeah, really fun experience. I don't remember what
that
show
was the,
that was.
The,
I think
the show
that might
before
have been.
Windows Home, wasn't it? I think it was.
Was it? Ahead, it was yeah. before Windows Home?
Right we need
before.
To put all those posters downstairs in chronological order because
yes.
I'm starting to forget.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, another thing, if anybody's listening, can we switch out all the posters that are wherever they are? Because when I go to the bathroom, I'm getting bored with what I have to look at while I'm in there. So can we move it around?
I know.
Can
I'd like to see, because whenever I go to the bathroom, I see yeah. It's a Wonderful Life and Gilligan's Island. I'm like, I've uh-huh. seen me in those Daisy Dukes one too many times.
I think we can. I think we should just do it. No one will even notice.
That's great.
Except it'll be our April Fool's for next year. Dun,
yeah,
da, da.
Good idea.
Unless Jimmy put them in there, they're probably like mounted and based
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
they're
they ain't coming
out. They'll try to shock you if you try to pull it.
Well, let's wrap up our last couple of minutes just yeah. by, since we're here just talking about us and reminiscing a little bit, the last show that all three of us were in together was Picnic.
Oh, yeah.
That and was that was fun. Great. That was a great
Man,
show.
That was a great
we
show.
Lisa, you took home a Lyric Award for that, didn't
did.
You?
Yeah, I really did. Yeah. And that was my first, I mean, I'd had roles, but I feel like this was my first really meaty role that I just geeked out on the script
yeah.
and yeah it was and just got into the character. I felt like I knew her. It was really a great experience being in Picnic.
When you and Walker her. Had those sassy scenes,
oh, yeah.
I was always thinking, what if it went a different direction? You know, because he was actually like dating or trying to get to your daughter. What if yeah. like y'all just started making out? I thought that would have been awesome.
That'd be a whole
it's like,
other
well,
show.
Guess we're going to improv for an hour and a half.
The ticket prices go
right
up for that
show.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you just couldn't handle the sight of him with the shirt off. And, yeah.
Well, I know that you two were a couple in Picnic.
We did.
And
we got married.
You
at the
guys
end.
Were the comic relief in so many ways. And I'll tell you, when I read the script and I read for Rosemary, I was like, oh man, I don't know. I just, I don't really like this character and it's so sad.
That makes two of
and
us.
You, well, but you brought a well, humor to the character that made her seem more spunky and less desperate.
She had a
generous
cringe co-star.
So. Oh, yes, my generous co-star. Yeah. My good balance on their side.
Yes.
I yeah. really made her pop. I really made it, yeah. No, that was pretty much,
you helped
it
me
was
on that
funny
Charleston
how,
for sure. Couldn't
like,
because
we
you.
Just played our natural energies, kind of, mm-hmm. and it was kind of, it was funny, especially in the context of those characters, because, you know. I'm more of somebody who's like, okay, you know, Karen, somebody will say, okay, let's do this, whatever. And mm-hmm. I'm more of somebody, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
yeah,
fine.
Just going along. A man's got to get married sometime,
yeah.
right?
Man's yeah. got to get married sometime.
And it doesn't matter where we go on our honeymoon, yeah. Howard. Just get the car for crying in a bucket. Yeah. We'll get there. So. But anyway, thank you guys so much for listening to just us talk and laugh and reminisce. And maybe you've learned a little bit more about who we are and what we do and how we came to the Lyric. And our listeners, please come audition. We would love to also be interviewing you as a new member of the Lyric family.
100%. Yeah, and also one thing to point out, if you want to talk to us, it's called, well, I named it drexandalisa@gmail, drex and Alisa, ALISA@gmail.com. just pretend that says in Karen too.
Sure.
Or just email Karen. What's your work email? Wait, we'll just give
we'll forward.
Yeah. I need to keep my day job.
Well, thanks a lot, Karen. This has been fun.
It has.
Thanks, Strix. Another good time.
Thank you.